Tonight's Big Brother Recap is sponsored by our friends over at ZipRecruiter because they know how difficult it can be for businesses to find talented applicants. In fact, things have gotten so difficult for myself in the past, I've even requested a clairvoyant like Caitlin to get a hit just to try to track down a great lead on a recruit for a position, but not anymore when you go to ZipRecruiter.com/survive because ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans through the resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply for your job. And as the applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter so effective that 80% of the employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. With results like that, it's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest rating hiring site in America. And right now, you can try for free at this exclusive address, ZipRecruiter.com/survive. That's ZipRecruiter.com/survive. ZipRecruiter.com/survive. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy once again who's ready to say, Mamma Mia, here I go again, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Wednesday night recap of Big Brother 20. Got another fun one to talk about here tonight as the bros try to come down off the block. They butt heads with Scotty. Everybody does a Mamma Mia themed veto competition. Caitlin has a psychic premonition and much more. Plus, we will update you before the end of this hour on what is going on with Tyler on TKO and much more with our LFC panel tonight. First, let's welcome in a person who I'm sure is ready to go with a bunch of share impressions at some point tonight. Brent, welcome up. Brent, how are you?
Whoo! What's going on, Rob? Very fun episode of Big Brother. Wait, I have it. Wait, my crystal is telling me, I'm having a vision, that Melissa Denny will be joining us on the show tonight. Am I right,
Rob? Oh my God, you are. Wow.
How did you know? That's
I
crazy.
I know it. Do you people not know that I see colors, that I see auras? How is this not known?
Brent, I get what you're trying to do here. And I just want to say, it's not funny. You are going to make a lot of people upset about this because you're going to piss people off.
You have me and a bunch of other metaphysical practitioners out there that think you are garbage.
Yep.
And I'm just over this
it.
Negative energy.
Over your negative energy.
Oh boy, that's not good.
I know. Well, at least Taryn will be happy that I'm getting the daggers from Caitlin and not him when she eventually comes out of the house.
Okay. All right. Well, we've got a lot to talk about here tonight. Melissa, are you doing good?
I am doing great. That was a very fun episode. It was very nice to see. I liked everybody in their Mamma Mia costumes, mm-hmm. and I hope that they dress more like that throughout the season.
Yeah. Brent, what do you think the pitch meeting was over at the studios that produced Mamma Mia about? Okay, we've got another idea for promotion. We're thinking, let's go on Big Brother, have a Power of Veto themed around Mamma Mia.
Well, I mean, Big Brother is a fun show. It has a lot of stability, a lot of fans, a lot of people who were kids are now adults. A lot of people who saw Mamma Mia the first time around are now much older. So they probably thought it was a natural fit for a fun summertime. And they're looking for any sort of press they can get these days.
If there was ever a week for the Big Brother wand off, this might be it. We have so much fodder that we could get into. But we got a lot to talk about here and a eviction that is still very much in flux, and this has been a very fun season for a number of reasons. But Melissa, we've had the House has not been completely one-sided, really, on any of these votes. Going even Swaggy C last week was the most lopsided vote, and that was what, 9-4, 8-4,
yeah, 8-4. So yeah, we're going to get that again, probably, most likely. And I feel like we're going to keep getting that every single week. I don't really see a vote where everyone just votes the same way. It seems like every week, each side wants something completely different and thinks that they're going to get it.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, we are going to be taking your questions later on in this show as well. Get your questions in. Hashtag RHAP for all that. And of course, we will be back tomorrow night after the eviction. Either Brett or Winston will go home. We will be here, and Taryn and I will be live with Donnie from Big Brother 16. Donnie Thompson will join us tomorrow night. So excited to talk to Donnie, and we'll see how that plays out. We may have a new HOH as well. So plenty to get to tomorrow. But let's talk about how this all played out tonight. And Brent, this was really the first time that we got to see Winston the villain tonight.
Yes. And for a lot of people on Twitter, he has been the villain since the introduction of him on the Big Brother show.
Yes.
But I mean, I am on record as having said up until this week, I actually enjoyed Winston and Brett quite a bit, only because of their total doofusness. They were easy to hate on and gave me some enjoyment. I would much rather watch them than somebody who is furniture like Angela. However, he was a little bit too close to the guy I knew in high school who wanted to beat me up. I think for a lot of people, he was that guy. He was saying stuff. I can't remember if they showed everything on the show tonight, but you know, that little dweeb, I want to just grab his neck and snap it. Just like like I was in high school again. And I'm like, dude,
piss me off.
Like, high school was like 20 years ago. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, he basically explained that he was a bully in high school, and that's not a good look.
Yeah, so he was very upset, and he had an interesting campaign strategy. We saw Brett, and the mist was gone when Brett talked about how disappointed he was with Scotty. But then Winston went up there, and Winston wasn't ready to talk to Scotty because he had this to say to him.
You just drew a line in the sand. You're gone next week. Zero questions asked. You just wrote your own eviction. So good luck. You better hope I go home. Because I'm telling you right now, I'm coming after you. You're gone.
You're gone.
Zero questions asked. So you better hope I'm gone. You better hope I don't win.
Yeah. Melissa, what do you think of that in a one-on-one? Now, we've seen like the idea of like the Godfrey speech of like tell the whole house. But what do you think about telling the HOH one-on-one? You better hope I go home this week.
Yeah, not great. Not great at all. Honestly, like that kind of thing works when it's like for show. When it's you're explaining to the whole house, like this guy's my target. None of you guys are my targets anymore. You have nothing to worry about when it comes to me. I have one target and one target only, and it's this guy. And that like maybe convinces some people to keep you around who might have thought that you might have come after them or whatever. They might be convinced by that. But doing it one-on-one with the HOH before the veto, it really just doesn't make any sense at all. And it was just real bad.
Yeah. Not great, Brent.
No, and I mean, it just shows what a bad player he is. I mean, like, the veto hasn't been played. This house has been very fluid. He, of all people, should recognize that the people who have gone home are the people who did not expect to go home necessarily. Certainly, Steve did not expect to go home in week one, and Swaggy was surprised during week two. So why not another surprise during week three? But he really took that out of the hands of fate by arguing with the HOH right after nominations, and then the whole house knew about it. And then the retells of it were even worse for him, and in some ways that was more worse for him than the original sin. So it's just a bad look for Winston all the way around.
So we start to see Brett and Winston talk about, okay, they've got this plan. Well, one of them is going to win the veto, but they need to start talking about who's going to go up in their place because they don't want somebody who's from level 6 to go up in their place. And they arrive on Caitlin, and they have this idea that they're going to go, and I'm not sure if this was from the live feeds or the show. They're going to wake him up at like midnight or 3 o'clock in the morning, and they're going to go in his room and tell him, hey, you need to put Caitlin on the block. We end up seeing a version of this where he ends up walking into the pantry, which was very funny, into the storage room. But Scotty really wasn't buying this, Melissa.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like when they first described the plan, it seemed like probably one of their only viable options, just because, you know, they didn't think Scotty would put up someone from the Faute thing, I guess, besides Caitlin. But they also didn't want Scotty putting up another person from their side. So really, it turned to Caitlin being the only viable option. And really, it seemed like a decent idea. I just feel like the execution of that idea was really not so great.
Mm-hmm. In what way? In what they said to him?
Yeah, I guess the way that they brought it up. Second of all, the way that they were saying, yeah, I'll be a pawn for you. You'll be a pawn for me. Like, the only way that that really works is like if they come to you and they say, look, I have nobody left in this house. Mm-hmm. I want to work with you. I want us to move forward together. But it doesn't make any sense when they still would keep all their original alliance members and just use him as a pawn. They're just volunteering him to go on the block every week. That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even as bad as it was, Rob, I will tell you that it did have an effect on Scotty. I mean, they didn't show it on the episode, but there was a moment in time after they had this discussion with him where he went to Fessy and was like, you know, hey, so, you know, the two people who've gone home the first 2 weeks were guys, and if nominations remain the same, another guy is going to go home, meaning we're down to five guys in the house. You know, do you want to do anything about that right now? Because I could put, you know, somebody up if you want me to. And Fessy was like, you know, Fessy doesn't love the fact that guys are going home, but he also did not want Scotty to change the nominations this week. And thus they were frozen in place.
You know, Brent, something that we first talked about on Thursday night when we were looking at the board of what Scotty could do, where it seems like that the guys had the piece of evidence that Caitlin was the person that flipped on Steve. And to present Scotty with that, I feel like would have been this somewhat damning for Caitlin. I know he will ultimately come to find out that before we get to tomorrow's vote. But did they consider telling him about that?
To my knowledge, no. And maybe the chat can help me on this if I'm wrong about this. But they never went as far as I thought they needed to go in trying to save themselves or extricate themselves from the situation initially or even after the veto was won. Initially, I felt like they could have been doing more in order to get somebody else nominated in their place, i.e. Tyler. And then even after the fact, I thought they could have done a better job at getting Caitlin or Tyler nominated. It's like, look, you know, I know we haven't had a great relationship. You know, we're doofuses, we're idiots. I get that. You want one of us to go home, but we're not the ones pulling the strings here. Here's the guy who's really screwing you over. He's the one who's lied to you. And Scotty is the kind of HOH and the kind of big brother player who plays a little bit emotionally. He kind of surprised me. He's not a game bot like Taryn would be. He's more like me in some ways.
Leave Taryn out of this.
He just is in some ways where he lets his anger and his, you know, sense of betrayal control him momentarily at times. And if you can catch him at the right time, I do feel like it would be effective ultimately.
Yeah, I know we're talking about post-veto, but Melissa, do you feel like that there would have been some wisdom in Scotty changing these nominations? Because I know you guys on the LLC Roundtable were pretty hard on Scotty's HOH week and felt like that it did not go great for him this week. Do you feel like that the idea that they were presenting of potentially putting Caitlin up on the block might have been something to leave him in better standing with the house than how he might be perceived after this week?
It's tough because possibly, but at the same time, Brett and Winston don't like Scotty, period. They didn't want to work with him at all generally. So I don't think that him just deciding to put Caitlin up on the block is going to change their opinion and make them want to work with him moving forward. I feel like at this point, I think he was right in that they needed to get the numbers down on that side of the house, because I really didn't see that side of the house working with him long term. So I think he's doing the best he can to try and ride the middle. And I think that it's tough, but I think that I don't see a path for him forward with the level six side of the house, whereas mm-hmm. I kind of see a path forward for him with the Fauté people.
I just don't feel great about him after this week, where he's somebody that I felt like, oh, he's going to lay in the weeds. He's going to be, you know, going ahead and going to make his move down the road. But I do feel like that he was forced to play very hard this week, which leads us to that veto competition where he was like a bat out of hell. I know wrong song choice there. But Brent, he was so crazy in the veto competition. Even do I have a JC talking about Scotty and how he was out of control? This is it.
Scotty's going crazy. He looks like a lunatic. He's just spinning. Mama mia, I have to party with Scotty.
I loved Winston in the competition when he just like fell and knocked over all of the glasses that were stacked.
It looked like he was like trying to like tackle the glasses.
Yes. Yeah. He was like, I think he just had the thing about that spinning thing that is not evident on television is that your sense of distance is also disrupted. So you're basically it's like the old, you know, your objects in the mirror are a lot closer than they appear. He didn't realize how close he was to the table until he was finally up on it. And then he just knocked everything over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a long history of spinning challenges in Big Brother. Mm-hmm. I vividly have a image of Jack Owens falling down after spinning around a million times in my head for some reason.
Yeah, they love this like bowl arena competition. I think it's so funny to watch. At the same time, it's like I wish they kind of put a different spin on it. I feel like we've kind of seen the same thing over and over. But has been. But I really do. I mean, when it all comes down to it, I really like seeing them all fall over.
Yeah. And Brett looked like he was in pole position. And in the retelling on the live feeds this week, I heard a lot of talk about how like, oh, my God, Brett was blatant disregard for the rules. He was so stupid. He couldn't even follow the rules. Brett, it seemed like very innocuous that he just let his time run out and, a big deal.
Yeah, I don't understand about that. Maybe I think the one thing that may have not been shown in the episode that he may not have realized, I think he knew he was going to be a have-not if he let the time run out. I don't think he knew that he was going to have to take all of his goblets down. I think that's the part. I think he thought that he would, you know, he'd have to become a have-not, yes, but he'd still get to have, you know, be within two goblets away of winning. And when he discovered that he was not, he was like, ah, crap. So, you know, that's what really allowed Scotty to win the veto.
Okay. Now, Brent, do you feel like they did enough with this Mamma Mia themed challenge? Can you explain to me, as somebody who has not seen Mamma Mia, what was the correlation? Why champagne glasses?
Well, there's just, I mean, Mamma Mia is just the ultimate summer movie where it's like drinking and vacationing.
Brent Wolgamott calls Mamma Mia the ultimate summer movie.
And the sun and Greece and, you know, romance and things like that. I mean, it's just it's the height of culture in some ways, but there's a little bit of a blue collarness to it. So I in some ways I get what they're
Brent
going
Wolgamott
with.
Wolgamott says Mamma Mia is the height of culture with blue collarness as well.
Yeah, we can only hope I get quoted in some review like that. I've seen those reviews before and they
Brent
quote
Wolgamott
like
Brent from The Staircase says right? that Mamma Mia, the ultimate summer movie. Melissa, are you have you seen it before?
Yes, I have. I've seen the musical, the stage musical and the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a huge ABBA fan.
Yes. Well, what is the plot? Somebody is looking to find that she doesn't know who her mom is.
She doesn't know who her dad is in the first movie. And the second movie is more of a flashback type thing.
Wait, what do you mean there's two movies?
Well, this is the second one.
This is Mamma Mia 2?
This is Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. Did
here
you know
we
that was
the
first Mamma Mia sequel?
Mamma Mia was released 10 years ago.
That is a long time ago.
Yeah, maybe more than 10 years ago. And now this is the sequel, Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again.
You did not do your research before this podcast.
So I'm so sorry, everybody.
How did you miss the first Mamma Mia?
There you go.
Like a cultural phenomenon.
He was just a fish.
Meryl Streep.
All right, so Mamma Mia 2. on Big Brother. All right. So we got to see a little bit. They wedged Sam in here a little bit, Melissa, and we saw Sam talking with Brett. I know a lot was made about this on the feeds about what's going on. Is Sam afraid that Brett has a power? But she was talking about how that, you know, she's got this power burning a hole in her pocket. Maybe this is the week to use it.
I'm not totally convinced that they're filming new DRs for Sam and they just are reusing that same DR every week of her saying, like, I think this might be the week I use my power. Like, I really think that that's like they do it every single episode, I guess, just to like throw it in out there. Like, hey, guys, this is still there. This is still a thing. But like, yeah, I just feel like it's every week she keeps saying.
Well, and I'm curious. I was going to say, I'm curious what they're going to give Sam to say after her power expires. I mean, this is all she talks about in the diary room, and it gets really freaking old. I mean, just like, I want to know more about this person that you found on Instagram rather than, you know, what she's going to do with some power that she won during week one when nobody knew who she was. Honestly, if America could go back and do it again, I'm sure they wouldn't give it to her because she's been no fun with it. She's just... she's like, she wants to use it. Look, let me just rant. Like,
yeah, she's like, I wish I didn't have it.
Yeah, I wish I didn't have it. It's a little unfair, but I want to use it. But I only want to use it on the people that I like, the people that I trust. Mm-hmm. And like, it's just, it's so high and mighty. Like, you know, like, come down with the rest of us commoners and play the game, honey.
Look, heavy is the head that wears the power app, Brent.
Yeah, so
with great power comes great responsibility.
I'm, like, completely convinced that if this power wasn't one of those power, like, if it wasn't going to be forced to be used next week, I think she would just let it go and never use it. Like, yeah. I think that this power would just... She'd just be like, you know what? It's not fair. I'm not going to use it. Like,
yeah, I think there's a non-zero chance that is correct.
Okay. So I guess we'll see. Brett is in the running. Winston is out of the running, too, potentially, if Winston is the evictee, Brent, that Sam will not use it on him.
If Winston is the evictee, there's no chance Sam's going to use the power on him. If Brett is the evictee, I think there is a slim to none chance that she uses the power on him. I think it's more likely, based on her own feelings, based on what mainly it's her feelings about Scotty, where she doesn't want to do this to Scotty because she, you know, she feels close to him. And number two, Tyler obviously worries, as any Big Brother player would, about the fact, well, what if HOH falls into the wrong hands next week? And I need a lifeline. He's convinced Sam not to use it. So yeah. I do not think the power is going to be used.
Now, if the power does not get used on Thursday, Melissa, we have a potentially, Big Brother has really painted itself into a corner where we have a week, which is going to be one of these infamous Big Brother reset weeks where nothing is going to happen because we have been told that this power, if not used by week four, it will automatically be used on week four. So do you think that we are going to let it get to this point where we're going to play out a whole week of Big Brother only to see whoever gets voted out come back into the house?
Yes, and we're also potentially going to see a week where like all the powers get used.
Well, that's fine. If we have a week where we wipe the slate clean.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're prepared for that because I feel like there's a lot of things that might counteract each other and that might get confusing when one's used and then another's used and everything. So it could be a really weird week, even if Sam has to use her power next week.
Yeah, and the chat is going on about the fact that reminding us that Sam's power is a chance to come back. But I mean, just look, listen to Brent here, people. There, I mean, whoever is evicted next week, they are definitely coming back into the game. I'm sure they're going to have to complete some tasks. But unless they're a complete idiot, basically, if Winston stays in the house and he's the one who's evicted next week, I think there's a chance he could fail. Everybody else should pass it with flying colors.
All right, well, let me throw out a crazy theory. Okay. So could the drama actually be in the person who ends up going out? If hypothetically Angela goes out, KC goes out, somebody who is not adding a lot right now, could the challenge become incrementally harder to get back into the house, Brent? Like if Big Brother is, if it's somebody that's like, wouldn't mind seeing this person go out this week.
I think that that is the possibility. I love that you're in simpatico with me as far as thinking about things like that, because I also love the same thing, that depending on who goes, the challenge might be harder. However, when the week that Steve was evicted, there was a momentary shot in the house of what the challenge was. So they may be able to make it harder somehow, but I think ultimately they're probably going to have to use the same thing. I mean, I'm sure they could do something different, but you know, it would look a little odd. So I feel like in some ways they painted themselves into a corner on that one.
I don't know. I mean, was that actually seen on the show, or was that a live feed leak?
It was seen on the show for about a second and a half when they
get out of that.
Yeah, that's definitely, they could just ignore it or say that, oh, well, it was exposed, so we wanted to give somebody something new. We wanted to surprise you all or something. I can see them saying something like that.
Yeah, that was the week one challenge, and they had a different one for every week.
I mean, they have such a great cast with so many people that I do think that if somebody like Angela who goes home, I could see something like, 10 Rubik's Cubes up for grabs, like she has to complete or something.
Angela, you have been eliminated, but you have a chance to get back into the house. You're going to go over to the next lot, and all you have to do is get through the TKO obstacle course in 60 seconds, and you'll win your way back into the house.
I take it that's hard to do.
It would be difficult. It would be very difficult to do.
Difficult. Okay.
Then let's talk Caitlin. And we were presented all of this metaphysical drama where the great Caitlin, Melissa, she went to sleep and she dreamed she got a hit. And the hit told her it was a vision where we saw that it was going to be Winston and Brett went to Scotty in the HOH room and told him to put her up on the block. And amazing.
It's amazing. She's a miracle.
Now, Melissa, how did this happen? Because she didn't get a hit. For the people who don't watch the show.
Brent, you are getting the metaphysical the practitioners upset with you again.
Well, no, I'm asking because I forget. I know she didn't get a hit off him.
Is it possible? What are the haters saying that Haley told her that this was actually happening?
Bailey
told her.
Bailey came downstairs and told her, and then Caitlin's like, oh my God, that's insane. I just had a dream where this happened or whatever.
Oh, yes.
All right. So this is where you pick which side of the fence you're on. Okay. Did Caitlin have the dream first and then it was corroborated, or is she faking the dream, Brent?
I mean, she says she has dreams all the time. This isn't the first thing that she said she has dreams about. So, I mean, you know, no one would be more susceptible to something like that than me. I love stuff like that. But so far, I've seen no evidence of Caitlin's quote-unquote abilities other than repeating what other people have told her. There's just no there, Rob.
You know, well, I'm trying to just think, like, if there was, like, some way that we could test her supernatural ability, like, if there was something that she should, if she was able to tap into the spiritual energy, if there's, like, for instance, like, if there was something that happened in the universe or in the outside world that she would be able to, Melissa, to intuit that something has changed in her life.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what that might be, but there might be something going on in the real world.
You would think that would be a hot take from her.
But I loved every second of this, because then when she's talking to Scotty and he's like, yeah, that did happen. Those guys were in here. She's like,
how cool that was, right, about me?
Like, can we just take a second and talk about like how amazing I am, because I was able to psychically predict that in my dream? Isn't that amazing?
I also love how Scotty goes out there and is like, oh, she knows about our secret meeting. It's like, why do you like say that?
Brent,
like,
I hated Scotty during all that. I thought he handled that so terribly. Why is he getting caught up in the middle of this drama of like, yeah, guys, I sold you down the river.
Yeah, good.
I think it's a little bit like, I mean, I'm just judging from what I'm seeing, Melissa, but it feels a little Revenge of the Nerds to me. Like, he's living for the fact that he's living his best life, that he has power over these two knuckleheads mm-hmm. and is making their life hell right now. And he doesn't want them to try to weasel out of it and, you know, and ultimately try to campaign for Caitlyn's vote by saying, oh, well, you know, we never said something like that. I mean, he wanted them to own their duplicity
yeah.
because remember, he originally put them on the block because he said they were liars. And this is just more evidence of that.
So I just like- don't understand why he didn't just say, like, Caitlyn had a dream. This came from her, rather than say, like, oh, yeah, I told her about our secret meeting. I just feel like it's just not. I don't think that's a good idea, especially because at least one of them is going to stay this week. So I don't understand why he feels like he needs to just like dig it in. They're still on the block. You know, he has the veto.
I mean, if, look, here's the thing. If I'm Scotty and I, you know, I gave him a bad score in the Stockwatch on the round table. Mm-hmm. I didn't like what he did this week. However, he's given us great TV. He's been fun. Even at the veto meeting, he was like, you know, now you got to answer to me, boys. Like, I was like, that was great. Of course, I love the boys part. Yeah. I know, yeah. But it was good stuff. It was fun. And I think he's just trying to, you know, like, this is your one chance to play Big Brother. I think he's living his best life and having a little fun right now. I think he thinks, you know what, there's only one of them's going to stay. And the chances that that one person wins HOH are small. Even if they win, they're probably going to put me up. I've got a good chance to veto. And even if I don't win the veto, most people like me in the house right mm-hmm. now. So, you know, I feel like he's not sad about his chances in the game right now.
I just think if you want to destabilize the sides and get Caitlyn warring with the bros, I think that I guess that's fine. But I mean, get the hell out of there. I mean, you don't know what shrapnel is going to hit you when they're like, oh, well, Scotty, well, why don't you tell everybody how you told us? Bop, 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 bop.
I will say that Caitlyn was very adamant about people supporting her during this meeting. She got mad at people that didn't support her mm-hmm. and didn't come down with her. People like Rockstar and Haley, who, you know, were there for the initial and then weren't there for the payoff at the end. So I feel like in some ways he felt like he had to go down to support her and didn't want her to be left in the lurch because he's trying to, you know, build something with her. But on the other hand, she's a lost cause. She's such a cannonball at this point, which, again, is what Swaggy called her during week one.
Yes, but to go back to something that you said on the LFC roundtable, Brent, that I have to say that I agree that Caitlyn is Big Brother 20, okay? It's been a wonderful season. The feeds are, you can't miss a day of Taryn's update. It's been nonstop excitement. The shows have been lit. And I think that I would give 75, 80% of that credit to one Caitlyn Herman, Brent, MVP of Big Brother 20.
100%. As noted previously, I've had my problems with some things from Caitlyn, but overall, she has been amazing casting. I live for her on the feeds. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's just fun to be around, or terrible to be around, depending on your perspective, but fun to be around as a feeder. She's absolutely nuts in the best possible way that you want for reality television. And Melissa, I ultimately, like, I mean, I, on the roundtable, I was rooting for a Caitlyn HOH, and I can't even believe I'm saying that. Based off of, you know, what happened last week. But I think another Caitlyn HOH would be even more nuts the second time around, especially in a week that's a reset week.
I think it'd be amazing if she gets out on the reset week.
Yes, that would be the best case scenario.
In the door, like, oh, look at me, guys. I knew it. I knew I would be back. Yeah. Like, I would love that.
From 4'11", and you guys tried to vote me out, and you couldn't because I knew that I would be safe.
I just knew it.
No, that would be the best case scenario, where if she gets voted out, we'd get all the drama about that, and then she'd get voted back in, where, like, Big Brother, like, okay, Caitlyn, we have a challenge for you. You have to solve this math problem. 1 + 1 equals blank. And hopefully she's not like doing like Rachel math or JC math. And then she goes right back into the house. So that's why I don't want.
Especially if Tyler votes her out.
Yes. She needs a HOH next week. Week 5 is when she needs HOH.
Okay. Yeah. I can co-sign that as well. Yeah. Again, she's been wonderful, wonderful fun on the feeds. And Rob is not, you're not overstating it. I mean, almost everything that's been happening in the house is solely because of her and her, you know, her ego, her wants and desires, her insecurities. Mm-hmm. her inflated sense of self. I mean, all of it's about Caitlyn right now.
When I wish that they had ratings for the feeds, where if I'm watching the feeds, I will watch Caitlyn doing anything over any other conversation in the house. Like, what are like the most people like if they put up like you know, okay, Angela and Rachel are talking, like who's watching that versus if Fessy is on a camera. But I think she's got to have the highest ratings. She is feeds gold, and I'm not gonna say that it'll be a boring season if she goes home, but the long, you know, that we are all in this together.
Yeah, I feel like we need her at least to the pre-jury. I'm sorry, not pre-jury. The beginning part of the jury. We need her at least there so we can have her around all season so she can predict the winner when she's in the jury house. I'm here for it, and it will be a fun time. I mean, the thing about Caitlyn overall is that she's easily susceptible to manipulation, but there are not many people in the house, including Tyler, who can keep up the level of manipulation that is required in order to control her. I'm encouraged to see where it goes from here.
Yeah, so she is incredible, and so kudos to Big Brother for finding. If we had a Caitlyn on every season, there would never be a dull moment.
Yeah, gosh, I think they thought it was going to be Raven, as Melissa noted on the roundtable, that it was going to be Raven last year, but Raven's nothing like Caitlyn. Mm-hmm. Caitlyn just goes after everybody. She'll do it in an open forum. She wants everybody to know what's going on, and you can tell how pissy Brett was to come back at her with that veto speech, because remember, she's a voter this week, and there are 11 people voting, and she's one of them. It could be a close vote. He's basically mocking her to her face, and I can't imagine that was a good look overall for him. But it was very funny, and I loved it.
That, I'm glad you brought up the Brett veto speech. Here it was that we had heard some hype about this, and I think it delivered.
Oh, Scotty. Sweet, sweet Scotty. Your arms are large, like a honey-glazed ham. Your chest burly, like a big, big man. Your eyes captivating like the sea. I just had a vision. You're supposed to take me off. Now is the time, Scotty. Take me off. Thank you.
I love Caitlyn giving him the stink face, Melissa. It was just so rich.
Cool speech, Brett.
Cool speech, Brett. What a weird ending to an episode.
I just love the first part, too.
Oh, Scotty. Sweet, sweet Scotty. Your arms are large, like a honey-glazed ham.
I didn't get that part. But
I didn't get it at all.
I was waiting for the Miss Cleo moment, so I didn't care about that. I was like, whatever.
Your arms are large, like a honey-glazed ham, Scotty. Take me off. It would have been amazing if you would have been like, all right, well, if you've had a premonition, I have to acknowledge your wish here. But no, Caitlyn is upset. Can we do a reset? I don't know how much the votes have changed since then, but what is the vote count right now if we're going to whip up the votes for Thursday night?
Are you talking about, at this point in the show?
Yeah, let's say at this point. I'm not sure how much it's changed since the veto ceremony.
Yeah, I mean, I forget when the votes have changed a little bit, and there's been some fluidity with it. Brett got into a fight with Caitlyn, obviously, the night before the veto meeting, and then the veto meeting happened later that day. But I think it was that night where the votes ultimately flipped over, or they started to flip over, and then they definitely solidified on Monday. So right now, it looks like a 6-5 vote for Brett to stay. As I said, it's sort of weird where I think he played this very badly, mocked a voter to her face, but in some ways, it was a little Godfrey-esque where he's like, he's in a fight directly with someone causing tension, and everybody in the house, there are a majority in the house wants to keep him in order to continue to antagonize that person. So that's where we're at right now. And I think that the level 6 side of things, along with Tyler, is going to be enough to produce a 6-5 verdict.
Mm-hmm. Let's touch on a couple other quick things from the episode before we get to live feed spoilers. We got to see Haley's punishment, Melissa. What did you think about that in practice?
I liked her accent. How it switched from like Cockney to Australian to like, I had no idea what was going on. And, I think she did a good job with it. And if I would love to have that punishment. I love reading out loud. And it annoys everybody else, but I would have loved it. It would have given me something to do in the house. Yeah. So,
well, it seemed like the house gathered around. Like, they were like, you know, hear ye, all right, everybody sat around, they were ready to go. And then she got through like the first page of the book and everybody was like,
well, it was very nice to meet you.
Yeah, well, I was wondering if they had to listen or if it was like they could do whatever. And at first I thought they had to listen, like when you, but then like, because I was like, that's a punishment for the house.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, honestly, I really wish they would have given her like the great works of Shakespeare abridged or something, because giving her Hamlet to read, I mean, it's just for the most part nonsensical to, you know, the average layperson who's in the Big Brother house. I mean, after one page, they were like, bro, number one, was that one page? Number two, what the hell did she just say? Like, I didn't even understand what was going on. I mean, I've read Hamlet, and I forgot how it begins at the beginning. I couldn't even discern listening to what Haley was doing there. I do think it's funny, though, that as the punishment wore on, her level of excitement with the accent got less and less. Yeah, it was fleeting to the point where she's just like, okay, Hamlet goes this way, and there's a ghost. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah.
Now, Melissa, did JC stumble onto something that was there some copyright infringement? Did we find out today that Hamlet was actually, did they rip off The Lion King?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it only makes sense. It's, you know, Lion King came first, then Hamlet.
Later, they were joined by their Lion King. JC, I mean, he gets a lot of these moments. Like, we have not seen almost anything about him playing the game on the show, Brent, but the editors love him. They give us, like, it's never in a game sense, but they give us one or two of these moments an episode with him. Here was him trying to guess Fessy's weight.
You're 300 pounds. I'm 100 pounds.
He's not 300 pounds.
How large of a human being do y'all think I am?
He's such a bitch.
he's calling people a bitch left and right on the show. I don't think we've ever seen him talk strategy once on the episode.
On the episodes, no. On the feed,
on the feed, certainly. Yeah.
Yeah, on the feed, certainly. He has been all over the feeds as far as strategy. A little bit like a bull in a china shop, as Taryn noted, but still a strategist nonetheless. I think it's been more effective than not, but I'm not sure that position can hold over the long term. The show just loves him. I will admit, I do enjoy him on the episode. I will call him out. You know, he's using the gay card and getting away with some of the things that he's able to get away with in the Big Brother house. I do enjoy his relationship with Fessy, though. It's a little Abbott and Costello, or Brent and Taryn, you know, take what you will. Where somebody's just intentionally antagonizing somebody over and over again. I enjoy their relationship. It's very fun for me to watch.
Yeah. Melissa, I mean, we could be headed for a JC and Fessy amazing race team if they keep this up.
I would absolutely love to see that. that would be so fun.
They're very funny together, and they've really like turned a, you know, something into nothing with Fessy, the TV character. Like, he has a lot of good moments with JC.
Yeah, honestly, he better thank his lucky stars for JC right now, because otherwise he wouldn't be on the episode.
Nothing.
But at least he's funny. Like, I enjoy these moments with him and JC, and I watch them on the feeds, and they're just as funny there too. Like, there's no editing tricks here. It's really what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Anything else from the episode? We got to see KC, a couple of shots of KC during the play. She was eating an apple. KC update.
Did. I was like, we did?
A lot
I was
of
like,
action.
Yes. Yes.
Can we also talk about Rockstar's strange DR voice?
This is a Rockstar talking about being excited that the bros were going on the block.
Yes, Winston and Brett are on the block.
She always is like, oh, Winston and Brett are on the block.
They are on the block. I'm so excited.
I'm going to vote one of them out. It's like, wait, why does she talk like that in the DR? She doesn't talk like that in real life. It's like so slow and with a weird accent.
She does. She
like
also
a
does.
A lot of head and like body. Yeah.
I know what it is.
Like, what is she doing?
Melissa, she is a fan of RuPaul's Drag Race. She is channeling Aquaria, who does the, you know, talks like this, you know, when she was doing that thing in the in the confessionals all the time. I know that's what's happening. I mean, it's too close for it not to be that. I do feel like she's living for her best Aquaria right there.
Okay, we'll find out the answer to that when we have Rockstar on the Taryn show. We'll find out if she was
I'd bet money that that's what's happening, honestly.
You guys, I was doing Aquaria the whole season. You didn't even
know.
You
know, Rob...
Okay. Let's take some questions, and then we'll do live feeds, and then we'll get our TKO update and find out how Tyler fared on TKO tonight. Okay, this is Scott St. Pierre has pulled this from IMDb. The original Mamma Mia, the 2009 nominee for Best Motion Picture, also. Wow. With Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
I said 10 years ago. I was close.
Yes.
Thank you.
Is Cher the addition here for Mamma Mia 2, Brent?
No, Cher was in the original one, right?
I think she was not.
Yes. Oh, she was not? Oh, that was Meryl Streep. Sorry.
Yes. Meryl Streep was in the original.
She is the rock of this franchise. Yeah. She's coming in. 52 million in the U.S.
Yeah. Sorry. Meryl Streep was in the original one. Now it's Cher. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you for Bridget. Thank you for that. Okay. All right. Let's see. We can move on to non-Mamma Mia questions. Here we go again. Melanie says, isn't it unfair to have someone with such strong metaphysical powers in the house? How should the house guests protect themselves from Caitlin's powerful visions?
They can't.
Yes. What if they wore totally aluminum foil hats, Melissa?
That might help a little, but I honestly think it's just so unfair to have somebody so powerful.
Yes. Is that what Taryn is worried about, Brent, that Caitlin's getting in his head?
No, I think he's just worried that she's a crazy person and she's actually capable of hunting him down after all the things he said about her on the live feed updates. All true, I will say.
Yeah. She's not going to be happy. Okay.
No, she's not. Right, she's the hero of her own narrative. If ever Fishback was right, it's at this moment in time where it's her against the world, the 12-year-old girl who's standing up for herself, and those mean people out there are going to see what these people are doing to her, making fun of her and mocking her in the Big Brother house right now. Again, she's in for a rude awakening when she gets out.
Okay. Mr. Robot Terrence says, should Tyler and the other male house guests
speaking her truth?
Yes, yeah. Like I encourage everyone to stand up and speak to truth. Okay, speak truth to power.
I'm speaking my truth.
Yes, Mr. Robot Terrence says, should Tyler and the other male house guests be more concerned about the gender imbalance in the house? I think this is something that we're going to touch on when we get to the live feeds. But so far, we have had three evictions in about 24 hours. All three of the people evicted from the house will be men. I think let's just put a pin in that and come back to it when we get to talking about the live feeds, what's going on there. Matthew says, instead of becoming a have-not, should the Mamma Mia veto punishment be a constant loop of Pierce Brosnan singing SOS? Is that the theme from Summer of Sun? Or worse, Tiny Bubbles? I think that's a mole callback.
I think that is a cool mole callback. I thought overall this veto competition was very fun. The one thing I would have liked was, I don't understand, I mean, like, Big Brother always has it where if you run out of time, the thing falls down, like the puzzle falls off the board. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why they couldn't have had a platform that just, you know, dumped the glasses or something like that. Why did, like, it seemed a little low class for Brett to have to take down all the glasses himself. You know what I mean? They should have just fallen. That's what should have happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could anybody worse have won the trip to Greece, Melissa, than Scotty?
Scotty's great to win the trip. He's going to enjoy it and love it.
Who's he going to take? Have a great Steve? Time.
He's going to take Haley.
Haley?
I don't know if he will, but he probably wants to. Okay.
Yeah, he was on this isn't
the spoiler. Geek was on fleek.
he did a HOH blog for Twitter, or it was released on Twitter. I forget what it's actually for, but a video HOH blog. Who do you have a crush on in the Big Brother house? And he said, Haley. So there are little flutterings for Haley in Scotty's bloodstream.
Okay, interesting. All right. This is from Island Living. How surprised were you that, of course, Caitlin made Brett's speech all about her? Can we have a prop bet if she tries to hijack the finale? Well, I don't know if that means hijack the finale, but anytime Caitlin is on TV, she will make it about her.
Yep. Exactly. I mean, I have to say, Melissa, I don't know about you, but I mean, you know, I heard tell of this speech and it did deliver. But I mean, for her to be that, I mean, it, like, it was a joke. Like, come on, lighten up a little, lady. No. I don't understand why she felt like she was personally being attacked by this speech.
Yeah, she did not enjoy that speech at all. And I guess I could understand why, because she's probably been made fun of a lot for this whole vision thing and all that. And so it's probably a very sensitive topic for her. But, you know, I don't know. I don't think it's that bad, but whatever. Yeah.
That is going to be the least of the things people are talking about, Caitlin, when she gets out of the house. Okay. This is from Dweezler. Why did Scotty's voice change for the POV ceremony? Well, we talked about this the other day with Eric Stein on the Summer of Stein podcast, that, you know, we talked about the Scotty voice, and then Scotty made his nominations the other day, and he had like a completely, this was his voice from the nomination speech.
The amount of charisma you have is just ridiculous.
Like, yeah, that's Scotty. That's Scotty's ceremony voice.
It sounds like you lowered the octave. Like, no. It sounds like you like messed with that.
I mean, I don't know what you would be talking about. I mean, he was really just using his manly voice and talking like this, like any regular alpha man would.
We all use our manly voice.
You messed with the wrong Scotty.
I mean, he's doing the same thing I did like back in the day when I'm like trying to pick up a guy. I'm like, hey, how you doing? You
know? Whoa.
What's going on?
Rob's into it.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Whoa. Hey. All right. One or two more questions. We'll talk spoilers. Then this is from Joey Dingleberry. Wants to. Wait. Brett gets visions and none of them tell him to put a shirt on and shave off that stupid handlebar mustache. How dare you, Joey Dingleberry?
Breaking news. He has shaved off the mustache now because Rachel told him to.
Okay.
Has a little crush on him. Okay. But I don't know. He has been overly douchey. I mean, I know that they said that was their plan, Melissa. They said that in the DRs on the episodes that they hope they look doofusy enough where nobody really thinks about them. But they really... It's not a good look overall to America. I don't understand why he doesn't recognize that nobody ever likes this guy long term. You know, you might play around with him for a few times on the feeds or on the show while he's sort of harmless. But when here's the thing. Winston, at least publicly, was coming at Scotty, you know, acting like he was in high school. I want to punch that dweeb up against the wall and wring his neck. Brett, we thought, was handling himself a lot better, but then cut to the DR, and Brett's just as bad as Winston, talking about, like, you know, you little dork, I don't know what you're doing, but this is high school, I'd have told you what for. Like, I mean, like, it's such a bad look, I don't understand why people don't understand that.
I'll make a slight distinction here, where I feel like that Winston seems more mean-spirited about it, and Brett, I feel like, plays into the character a little bit more, like, the other day when he was like, all right, Scotty, look, I'll come up here and kick your ass in foosball anytime you want, you little nerd. Like, I kind of feel like that he's not perfect, but I feel like there's just not a meanness to it.
Okay, I can buy that, and I do agree with that. I was a little taken aback what I heard. But I will say it was amplified by the fact that Winston had basically said a version of that earlier in the week, which I didn't really care for.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. This was also funny. At Mr. Big Brother announcer guy at the end of the episode, he said this.
Who will be evicted from the Big Brother house? Bro Winston or Bro Brett?
There was that, and then also there was another moment when the two guys were up on the block and the editors having a lot of fun with these guys.
Yeah, I mean, a trip to Greece sounds fantastic, but you know what sounds even better? Keeping the bros in this game and my safety this week. I need that veto.
Melissa, why did they put the stinger in there from houseguestdating.com?
I have no idea. I read an interview with the announcer guy.
Yeah.
The other day, because I wanted to figure out who is this guy and how did he come up with going Big Brother. And he said that he edits all of it himself. So he like creates these things that he's going to say, and then he records them and then edits it together into like a coherent narrative in the beginning of the episode and at the end of the episode. So it's really funny that he's I thought he was just like a voiceover guy just reading this stuff, but he creates this stuff himself. I think it's so funny.
We love it.
We love
it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. He's one of the best parts of the show. By the way, do you know what his name is or like how do
I just forgot it, but okay. I looked it up. If you just search like Google for like Big Brother announcer guy.
Okay. That's what we'll do.
Find it.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good.
All right. So with that in mind, we will get into the spoilers coming up. Again, if you were going to bounce out now, Donnie Thompson will join us live 10:15 p.m. Eastern on Thursday. And also, we're going to have a TKO update still in this very episode talking about the spoilers from tonight's TKO action. But first, let's talk about the spoilers of what's going on heading into this Big Brother vote.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Brent is looking into his crystal ball, getting ready.
Trying to see the live feeds for you so I can tell you all about them.
Yes, clairvoyantly looking into the crystal ball. Okay. Melissa, we touched on the vote count a little bit earlier. Where do we stand heading into tomorrow night?
I believe that we stand at the same place. I'm not thinking that much is changing. The last thing I've kind of been hearing is that Tyler and JC are going to vote to keep Brett, but they're going to blame it on Caitlin. And I don't quite know how both of them are going to blame their votes on Caitlin.
You guys,
but they're both
I have two votes.
They're doing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's not the first time that happened. The crazy Brett and Winston tried to blame their votes on Haley and Rockstar during the first week, and they still had the Caitlin vote that they had to worry about and never really discussed with Scotty, which really could have helped them, I think, in the initial nominations this week. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I agree with Melissa. It's probably going to be 6-5. I don't know what's really going on with Tyler. I wish he was more of a cam talker and told us what the hell he's thinking. I don't know how he's going to pull this off. I mean, basically, they've done a good job of saying that there is no alliance on the other side. Fauté somehow believes in their stupidity. Again, I have been honest about the fact that I love the Fauté people, but they're idiots, and they need to get their, you know what, together. For them to believe that there's no alliance of any kind on the other side, it's foolish. And when they see this vote come back 6-5, once again, they're on the losing end. I feel like they really have to acknowledge that something's going on with those people on the other side. And all of the people that you thought you maybe could trust, like JC, Casey, because Bailey thinks a lot of Casey, even JC is friends with many of the people, that they are in cahoots with them. That they are in the pocket of level 6. And I don't think that they really have been willing to face that fact yet. But I'm hoping if the vote comes about 6-5 that will be the case. However, it may not be 6-5. There may be people that ultimately flip their vote. I think Bailey's a possibility for flipping her vote.
Where is she right now? She's currently voting to evict
Winston. She's currently voting to evict Brett.
And she may jump on the winning side.
Yeah, she may jump on the winning side. I don't think she really cares too much who goes home. She was talking to Scotty earlier, but the other person I think who could flip their vote is Fessy. JC has been putting in some good work with Fessy, although I think that ultimately his girls, and I'm talking about Haley, Rockstar, will pull Fessy back to their side. But JC's been trying to get Fessy to say, look, you know, hey, keep Red in the house. He's more of a strategic threat. You know, somebody like that is good to have in front of you because otherwise you could, you know, be at the head of the nomination list. Plus, if he ends up staying in the house and you vote against him, I won't be able to protect you. JC's very like godfather, like, you know, if you do this, I can protect you. But if you don't do this, then I can't protect you. So, you know, I don't know ultimately who's going to end up voting for Brett to stay. But I do know that there are 6 solid votes for him to stay. It's just, again, it's a little bit like what happened last week with Swaggy, whereas what's the fallout going to be from the vote? Who's going to get blamed for what? And how many votes will there be ultimately to affirm Brett's position in the game? But I do feel like in any universe, he's staying.
Melissa, how confident are you that this is going to remain in Brett's favor going into tomorrow night?
I feel pretty confident. The one thing that might change is, yeah, that more people will flip their votes over. But I don't see Brett going home.
Okay.
But the one person, something really crazy happens.
Yeah, the one person who I wish honestly would assert her own will, and I bitched about her a little bit previously, is Sam, Melissa. I mean, basically, she went up to JC and was like, "What are we doing?" He's like, "Oh, well, we're voting for Brett to stay. Shut your mouth, you know, keep it a secret." And she's like, "Okay." She basically just takes orders, shuts up, and sits down. You know, it's so weird because in some ways she likes to assert her own will over some things like this power. She's, you know, insistent about some things like who's her friend and who's not her friend, who she cares about, who she doesn't care about. But in other ways, she just is a sort of like above the game and takes orders from people who tell her what to do. And I'm sort of like, why are you there? You're not even playing the game. And which is why I've been convinced for a while now that we're probably going to be stuck with her until the final three. I don't know if you share my frustration with her, but it's really evident for me this week.
That was for me or for Melissa?
Well, either one of you. I was talking to Melissa, but for Sam specifically.
Yeah, I don't see Sam using the power this week. I think that she just moves on to the next week and just... Yeah, I don't see her doing anything. I thought at one point she was going to use the power because she like called Brett up to Scotty's HOH room and had a whole meeting with him. And it turns out that she like just was trying to get him to not use his power, but he doesn't have a power and was saying that she didn't want him to mercy kill her or something. I have no idea what the heck that was about. And at first I was like, whoa, this whole time Sam has been like plotting all this stuff and she's going to try and make a deal with Brett and everything's happening. Oh my God. And then I was like, am I just missing what this deal is? Am I just missing what's going on here, or is really nothing going on here? And it turns out, oh, it was nothing.
Well, Brett, that going back to the mercy kill thing that I heard you say on the LC Roundtable, that you felt like that there was a non-zero chance that Sam could quit at some point this season, and that the mercy kill idea was based around the idea that, well, if she's having such a bad time, let me put her out of her misery here. Why is Sam having such a bad time?
Because she... Well, you're there to play a game, and she doesn't want to play the game. I don't even think she likes lying, although it is important to point out that she has done it effectively. One of the main things that's been important about the post-veto ceremony happenings in the House is that she has let it be known through directions from Tyler that her power expires this week. Now, in some ways, this is an easier lie to tell because it is – you know, through a liberal reading of the rules, correct in that it expires for her specifically. Otherwise, she has no control over it. So she's been telling everybody that her power expires this week. So people like Scotty, Bailey, who obviously has a power, that could affect her power if somebody ends up coming back, if she uses her power next week, they don't know that her power is going to be automatically used during the coming week if she doesn't use it at tomorrow's eviction. And so I think that that's important to note.
Okay. Melissa, we were talking about earlier the gender imbalance in the House, and I know that there was some talk about the possibility of the women coming together for a women's alliance. Where does that stand right now?
Basically dead. Every year it's like the women are going to come together and they're going to create this women's alliance, and then it never works out. I really wish that there would be a good... women's alliance, and really the only time that's happened is the Ball Smashers, but other than that, girls just can't get it together. I don't know, but they were like all supposedly on board, and I thought, you know, maybe this one will work, who knows. And then of course Casey and Angela and Rachel are like, well, we need to tell the guys. So there goes that.
The women's alliance could be the undoing of the women in the House, Brent.
It really could be, especially people like Rockstar, who apparently will go up to every Tom, Dick, and Harry, whether you're a woman or not, and say, hey, do you want to be on a women's alliance? You know, like, I mean, of course it's not like that, but it kind of feels like it because she's just so haphazard with how she goes about these things. I was typing in the chat room, Melissa, where you were talking about the women's alliance that was formed today, the Man-Eaters. Yes. The problem is that these people do not have, like, once in the game, they do not have allegiances in the game that are similar. There are people on other sides of the Women's Alliance, people like Casey and Rachel, who have allegiances to the Tylers and Bretts of the world, whereas people like Rockstar and whatever, they have allegiances to Fessies and to a lesser extent Scotty and JC. So I don't know why JC, but I'm sure it's more like that. Mm-hmm. The point being that it's never going to work, and not unconsequently, 10 minutes after this Man-Eaters Alliance was formed, Casey and Rachel went off to tell Tyler and Brett respectively about what was happening. So, I mean, it might be there in name only. I'm sure if a woman wins, like if a woman from the Fauci side wins, I think there's a good chance that the women in the house would be like, "Hey, Women's Alliance, you know, we're here for it." But other than that, I don't know that it's going to get much traction with the game.
And Melissa, does Caitlyn get included in these women's alliances?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think that that's going to be another reason why this is not going to work out. Okay. Anything else of note from the feeds as we head towards Thursday's vote? Anything else to watch out for?
No, I think everything's okay. Sam is an unpredictable player, and I think that's important to note. I think Tyler is able to. I think he has a leash on her, so to speak, at this point, and is able to control her in the game. But I'm not sure how long that can last, especially if she finds out that Tyler lied to her at some point in the game, which Tyler has lied to Sam about. You know how many people he's told about Sam's power and who, because he let Sam pretend to tell Caitlyn, and then he was the one who really told Caitlyn that she had a power. I think that ultimately that could come back to bite him if something happens, you know, between now and tomorrow. She could use the power, but otherwise I don't see it happening.
Okay.
I figured out the name of the Big Brother guy.
Yes.
Okay. What is his name?
Clayton Halsey.
Clayton Halsey.
Halsey. Yes. H-A-L-S-E-Y. Don Wollman does the voice inside the house. Don Wollman does the voice where he's like, "Melissa, please go to the diary room." But the announcer on the show is Clayton Halsey.
Okay. Thank you, Clayton. We love you.
We love you. Okay. Are you guys ready to get into the update from tonight's TKO?
Oh, man, the moment we've all been waiting for.
All right, so Tyler Crispin appeared on TKO, and now we are going to give you the update on how he performed when we talk TKO.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
TKO spoilers. Spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected, and that protective action should be taken.
All right. We now will bring in live our TKO correspondent who has watched all of tonight's TKO and has the results from tonight's TKO episode, Randy Neupel. Randy, are you there?
I am here.
Okay. Randy, hopefully everybody can hear you. Randy has watched all of TKO, and how did it go, Randy?
It was not bad. As a comparison to last week, the competitors were definitely a lot better as a whole.
Okay.
But the challenges were the same.
Yes. Okay. So same obstacle course. Now, Tyler was one of the regular participants, or he ran his own time trial on TKO?
He was one of the regular competitors. Big Brother was never mentioned during the show. He was just a beach lifeguard.
We got a lifeguard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Wow. Cool.
All right. And so people were mocking him as a lifeguard.
Yeah. He definitely had the surfer bro vibe going on. Kevin definitely asked him a few times if he was high.
Yeah. And what did he respond?
Yeah. I've never done drugs in my life. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. He's getting ready to lie before he goes on the Big Brother. Okay. And so, all right. So the big moment of truth, how did Tyler perform on TKO?
Overall, on the defense side of things, he got a lot of people to fall down. He caused two TKOs, but he was the last runner of the night and ended up falling twice and then having two TKOs himself, but ran pretty quickly. And he placed third.
Third place.
He placed third with 6 minutes and 6 seconds, which would have won last week.
Would have won last week. Okay, so how much money did Tyler win on TKO tonight?
$2,500.
$2,500K already before the game even started. Interesting. You know, a lot of people were upset in the Big Brother world about this, and our own Gregory McBean was out to try to track down the social media response to Tyler appearing on TKO, and he went to the Big Brother Facebook page to find out what people thought about Tyler appearing on TKO. TKO. And let me give you some of the responses. A woman named Meg posted, Tyler is on Kevin Hart's new show, TKO. He may have been voted out.
Spoiler.
Yes, a spoiler. a man named Christopher wrote, I'm very upset with this show now. Due to you guys just saying on TV that you have Tyler on Big Brother, well, you just ruined Big Brother for a week, stupid people. Thanks for doing that. I hate TKO now, and I hope your show fails.
What? That doesn't make any sense.
Well,
why did it ruin it just for a week?
It's because now that he knows who's going to get voted out.
But just for 1 week, it doesn't ruin anything else?
Yes. Like, I guess he didn't specify which show was ruined for a week. It might have been TKO exactly. Was ruined. He might be a Blake Brent and not want to see Tyler on any more shows, and TKO was ruined for a week. This is from a Jennifer and Brian. I guess it's a shared one of these. I always think that's weird when couples share a Facebook account. Why is Tyler on TKO with Kevin Hart? I saw the preview during Big Brother. Is he getting voted out?
No, he's not.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Another user, C. Carey. I want to know how Tyler magically leaves the house to be on TKO.
It's called taped editing, people.
Does nobody understand?
I don't know.
I did find it a little weird how they're referring to him as everyone's favorite Big Brother player, Tyler Crispin. I'm like, he ain't everybody's favorite player. I mean, I will give them a little bit of a pass in that I'm glad that the voting for the Power Apps was done by the time his episode aired, or I really would have had a problem with it. Mm-hmm. But they better not have any more America's Vote stuff. I feel like in some ways, like, if he wins America's Favorite Player at this point, it's like, it's probably tainted.
You think TKO put him over the top, Brent?
Huh?
You think TKO is going to put him over the top?
Well,
with its large audience.
I mean, they just put him out there. Again, look at Terrence poll. We have a bunch of rap people voting for, you know, who's your favorite player right now. And even though rap is made up of people who, I think a lot of them are probably rooting for Rockstar, Tyler got the most with 35%, and everybody else was like scattershot all over the place. So I think there's a non-zero chance that he wins America's Favorite Player, in part because of the promotion that he's been getting.
Now, I think it'll be based on his merit on Big Brother. I don't think going to be much to do, you know, 2 months from now. Who's going to even remember TKO, let alone Tyler was on it? Then a couple of other Florence on Facebook said, I think Tyler will win. He's already on the new TKO show representing Big Brother. Is this a spoiler alert? Melissa, could this be a spoiler? Are the Big Brother editors spoiling us that Tyler will be the winner?
Possibly. You never know.
You never know. And Kathy says, I saw the promo with Tyler on the other show and was thinking, wait, did he get voted off BB and is already on this another show already? Well, he's pretty full of himself. So, Brent, this woman agrees with you. How arrogant of Tyler to go on two shows at once.
How dare he? Well, I have to say, when Paul was being bandied about for The Amazing Race, I was like putting my hands or my head in my hands about it, because I honestly was like, please, no. Or even like a third season of Big Brother when people kept joking about that. So, I mean, like, I just don't like when stuff like this happens. Like, give it a rest, people. We like you on the show you're on, and I, you know, give us some time before you come back and see us again.
Fist!
Okay. All right.
No.
Randy, anything? Let me ask a Tyler question here. This is from Matt. Was it how many seasons until Tyler is on Survivor? Was there any word about Tyler competing on Survivor, Randy?
No, nothing. And I don't know if he's going to be able to make it. He got hit in the head a lot.
Oh, this could explain a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, no. He might have died.
They put together a little clip package at the end of him getting hit in the head 4 or 5 times. And it was he had a rough run.
Yeah. Okay.
He's probably hurting right now in the house.
He had a good time. I heard him on the live feed the other day. He told Caitlin about this, but he told Caitlin that he was really terrible.
Well, he expected to win, let's be honest.
Yeah, but he might have lied because he gets 50K if he wins TKO.
Yeah,
The guy who ended up winning was real good. He finished in 3.5 minutes. Only had a couple falls. He's famous. He named the Philadelphia Eagle. He was named that as a kid, so they made a big deal about that.
What do you mean he named the Philadelphia Eagle?
I guess when he was a kid, they had a contest, and him and his family came up with the name Swoop, and which is the name of the eagle.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody know Philly that?
Made a big deal about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That sounds like fake news.
Is that true?
Hey, fake news.
They had a newspaper clipping and everything, and I
that doesn't mean anything. Yeah. All right, Randy, thank you so much. Anything else relevant from TKO? Were there any Survivor 37 contestants on the episode?
I don't know. Joe from Philly would be good on the island.
Okay. All right. We will keep an eye out for Joe from Philly on future Survivor seasons. All right. Randy, anything you want to plug?
Oh, I got nothing.
Okay. You want to give out your Twitter for any other TKO updates or anything?
Yeah. My Twitter is at Randy Knoop, RandyKnup.
Okay. Randy, thank you so much for the TKO update tonight.
No problem.
Okay. Take care, buddy. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. There you go. All right. Look, we couldn't watch TKO. They switched the time slots around. Did you notice that, Melissa? So it was supposed to be the rest of the summer that TKO was going to be on in the 8 o'clock time slot, and then Big Brother was going to come on after. But Big Brother ratings have been so strong this season. TKO had a okay opening, and they said, okay, look, I think that TKO needs Big Brother as a lead-in. So we'll see what the week 2 ratings are going to be for TKO. All right. Last couple of questions. Does Scotty look better with or without eyeshadow? Brent, do you have a thought on Scotty too hottie?
I love the fact that he's coming out of his shell. He reminds me, I think, Scott, our Virgin King.
Yes.
Which tweeted out a picture of himself alongside Scotty and said, "How dare he?" Which is very, very funny. I think I even retweeted it. It was very fun. But I mean, you know, anything that can just attract a little bit more attention in the Big Brother house, I feel like, especially this season, it's not a bad thing.
Okay. All right. Maybe we got another question. Okay. Andrew wants to know, what is the punishment if Haley said screw it and didn't do her punishment? Oh, you got to. I don't know what they would do. Would make her a have-not?
Yeah, probably be a have-not for the rest of the summer, all the way up to like a penalty nomination, penalty vote, otherwise eviction. I mean, like, you know, give up your stipend. There's ways they can make people do stuff if you want to remain in the Big Brother game.
Mm-hmm, right.
I got to bake pies for the rest of the summer whenever I hear Zingbot's anthem.
Okay. Jordan says, who's the bigger bro? Bro Rob, bro Brent, or bro Melissa?
Bro Melissa.
All right. And then let's see the last question, Scott. Elle wants to know, can Tyler use his cloud power on someone else, or can he only use it on himself? Do we know the answer to this?
He can only use it on himself.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. All right. Well, lots of fun tonight. We talked about everything Big Brother. Fun 3 weeks. We keep waiting for that other shoe to drop on this season, but so far, so good. Here we are closing in on a month into the show. And even with a slow week next week, it's never a slow week with Caitlin in the house.
Yeah. So. I will say really quickly that I know that Taryn is worried about the fact that next week could be a little boring if we know that it's likely that who's ever evicted is ultimately going to come back. But you have to keep in mind that half the house doesn't really know about that right now. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be playing as if it's a regular week. They think Sam's power expired when she said it did. They don't know it automatically activates at 4 weeks. So and that's another thing. I don't know how Sam is going to account for the fact that she said her power expired, Melissa. And then, oops, it appears at the eviction ceremony next Thursday night. I mean, she's going to have some explaining to do is what I'm saying.
I mean, technically, that's the last week she can choose to use it. So she's not lying. She can just say, yeah.
She's not lying, but it doesn't matter. Yeah, in the Big Brother game, though, they're still going to come for her and say, why didn't you tell us that it was going to automatically activate or something like that? I mean, yeah, you may have, you know, gone by the by the letter of the law, but certainly not the spirit of the law in telling us that it expired. So I feel like she may be in some hot water moving forward.
Let me know, Brent. You think it's going to be interesting if Sam herself gets voted out in week 4 and then uses the power to come back?
I don't feel like that's interesting either.
The house is going to blindside Tyler, and then he could save his power this week because he just knows that Sam is going to save him. I feel like that there could be some drama there. I think it's going to depend on who the target is, whether or not we get drama in week 4.
Yeah. Lauren in the chat is saying next week it's anonymous, Brent. I don't remember reading that on the card. I just know that it automatically activates. I've seen no evidence that Big Brother would not say that it was Sam's power, because I feel like they would have to reveal that once they activate it.
But it's totally possible they might not. And it might just be like, okay, it's activated. And everyone's like, oh, somebody's power got used. So now we've gotten rid of one of the power or two of the powers because Sam's power is gone and this extra power is gone. Like, it's possible that then they think there's only, like, you know.
And we also talked about the fact that depending on who wins HOH next week, I mean, Sam could go to people who don't otherwise know and say, hey, I'll make a deal with you. I'll save you this week. I still actually, I still have my power and I can save somebody this week. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I'll save you. But, you know, obviously I don't think that's going to work because too many people know that it is actually expiring.
Requires Sam to game.
I know, right? And she just doesn't do that. Yeah, what are we? What? That's crazy talking. So what are you talking about?
Okay. All right. So until tomorrow night, that's going to do it for us here on the recap show. Of course, Taryn will have the update. Let's talk about what's coming up. So Nick Yadanza is going to be on the New Zealand episode 13 wrap up. So check out our great friend Nick, who is has a baby on the way. Congratulations to Nick and his wife. We got our Bachelorette episode 8 recap as well. They've got some wacky stuff on their heads from this week on The Bachelor. Bachelorette, check that out. Of course, the Challenge Final Reckoning. Natalie Negrotti was all over the press today with her big announcement. Find out what's going on with Natalie and Pauly Calafiore on the Challenge Final Reckoning wrap-up. And then Taryn will be back on Thursday to talk about everything heading into the live eviction on our next live feed update. And then we will be live on Thursday night with Donnie Thompson tomorrow. So very excited about Donnie joining us again tomorrow night. Should be a lot of fun. Can't wait for all of that. Of course, you can get even more engrossed in Rob as a Podcast when you check out our Patreon page, become part of the RHAP patron community with all of the bonus content, the episodes, and everything we've got for you. Come check out what we have to offer you at robisawebsite.com/patron. Okay. Brent, anything else you want to hit tonight? Are you getting a hit?
No, I'm like Randy. I got nothing. You know, you can follow me on Twitter at One Lucky Gay, and we're gonna be. I'm gonna be looking at the feeds tomorrow night to see what happens after the we get a new HOH. It's gonna be very interesting because remember Bailey has the power as well, and if the wrong HOH gets control, I think there is a better than average chance that she actually uses her power to counteract that. And of course, we know that that would be a waste. However, she's done really good work this week. I don't actually think she will be in anybody's initial set of nominations if the level 6 side of things wins. So as somebody who's rooting for that side and Bailey in particular, I really don't want to see her power burned. I want her to be able to get something out of it. So I don't want to see that happen.
Yeah, we haven't really talked much about Bailey. You know, I liked what you guys were saying on the LFC roundtable. I do really like where she is. I feel like that she has a lot going for her. Plus the storyline of, you know, being in a showmance where the showmance partner got rubbed out early, where I feel like that's just a good storyline to have on Big Brother, Melissa.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like it. She's doing really well with it, and I felt like it could go either way, but she's done a really great job so far, and I think that she could go really deep in the game, and so I'm excited to see how it goes.
I mean, I feel like that the woman survivor of a showmance, I feel like that we have seen that a number of times go on to get the win. Lisa Donahue, Jordan Lloyd, Rachel Riley, I'm not sure if I'm forgetting anybody else, but I feel like that is a good position to be in. She's got this power app, and I think that she's situated nicely between these two sides, so we'll see.
It's like what we had hoped for with Jess last season.
Yes, so we'll see. We'll see. All right. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Of course, follow Melissa Denny on Twitter. She's at It's Melissa, 3 A's. I am Rob Cesternino. And unless we got anything else, that's a wrap for tonight. We'll see you tomorrow night with Donnie Thompson. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.